Good morning, everybody. It's great to be together, isn't it? Incredible song, fellowship, a beautiful day, and it didn't snow for a change. Hope I didn't just curse us. Amongst teachers mentioning no snow, students in my school will put ice cubes in the toilet overnight because they believe that will bring the snow when the snow is forecast. And this is Palm Sunday, amen? It is a day in biblical history that we know historically when it happened, 1 week before Easter Sunday. So it is a time that we can actually celebrate with certainty as to when it happened. Now, look, Christmas, that's an agreed upon thing, but we know that's not exactly when Jesus was born. And we do recognize the triumphal entry, but we don't distribute palm fronds. Some people put them in their car. They think it's going to be, you know, a protection, just like the PBA card or something like that, or Psalms 23 being opened in your house, right? But we do believe in guardian angels that watch over each and every one of us and how God's Spirit works in our lives, amen? So look in Luke chapter 19, because it is a triumphant entry. It is an amazing thing that Jesus did for us, amen? The life that he lived, the culmination of it, even looking at special things that happened in this last week, as I study this out, I continue to get new and inspiring things from the Scriptures because we believe the Word of God is living and active, don't we, brothers and sisters? Amen? And that it's something that speaks to us in new and different ways. It's the one book that you can read for your whole life and never finish understanding it because God's Spirit has breathed through it. God's Spirit has spoken through it. And we need to continue to have the wonder and excitement that comes from the Scriptures. Amen? Luke 19, looking in verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people were spreading their cloaks on the road." Now, other Gospels also mention how they spread palm branches as well, hence the term Palm Sunday. Continuing on, when he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples, that could be us, began joyfully praising God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. If you look in this room, there are a lot of miracles in this room. Amen? Couldn't we give praise to God for that? Amen? Can we say praise God? We need to be that. This is what it's about. They said, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." That's how much joy there was. It was in the earth. It was in the planet. It was in the existence. This moment was such an important time. Life-changing, world-changing. Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you, encircle you, and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on the other because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." That's intense. He cared so much that he cried. But he foresaw a really terrible end to Jerusalem for the way they're going to react and respond to him. My first thing here is Jesus did amazing things. He did miraculous things. Imagine what he can do with us. Zechariah 9, verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He was fulfilling a scripture when he rode that donkey in, the foal, the colt. He was fulfilling a scripture. And he even knew exactly what to tell the disciples when people questioned him. And they did exactly what he said. Do you see, he said the Lord needs it. What did they say? The Lord needs it. And then he rode that colt. Now imagine you or I getting on a horse that's never been ridden. You've seen stories and movies and scenes. How many times does that person wind up on the ground trying to ride a horse that's never been ridden? But what did Jesus do? He just sat on it and he rode it. He did an amazing and miraculous thing even right there. He just ruled over the situation. Will you give the reins of your life over to Jesus? Will you do that? Because if you can, if he could tame a wild beast, what could he do with a willing person giving their life over to him? Amen? We need to understand he can do miraculous things in us. If you're here visiting with us, miraculous things can happen in your life. If you're a follower of Jesus, miraculous things can happen in your life. But we have to give the reins over. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus can change any one of our lives in amazing ways. Amen? But we have to humble ourselves. Some of us can battle with that, because we think we have to take control. We have to make the moves. We have to set the boundaries. And he can't act when we're not willing to give the reins over. If we're trying to have the reins to our own life, he can't act. But sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's selfishness. Sometimes it's laziness. But whatever it is, we need to just completely humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, if you've ever thought you're wild and out of control, that's like that unbroken horse. Did Jesus have any problem riding that horse? No. Would he have any problem helping us change our lives? No. You know, we have to ask ourselves where we're at with that. Will we let him do those miraculous things in our life? I believe he can do it. Are we willing? Amen? You know, that phrase, the Lord needs it. What does Jesus need from us? Are we willing to give up? And we know what God's telling us to do sometimes. It's either the result of his word. It's the result of his spirit prompting us. It's the result of his followers in our lives. There are times where we know clearly what the Lord needs from us. Are we willing to give it? Are we willing to give it up? There was a phrase maybe 10 years ago, WWJD. Pretty much everyone knows what it means, right? What would Jesus do, right? We have a living example in Jesus. So often as a young Christian, I didn't know tons of scriptures. I just had an image of what Jesus was like, because he came as a living sacrifice. And I would ask myself, literally, what would Jesus do? One of the guys that I helped to become a Christian years ago, he literally wrote on the front of his sneakers, "Would Jesus do this?" Before it was WWJD, this was a long time ago. This was like 30 years ago. Because he was quite a player on campus. He was the Don Juan. So he had all these girls that he was constantly having to tell them, "I'm changed now." So he literally had to write on the front of his sneakers, "Would Jesus do this?" Because, "Oh, Ariel!" That would come up to him and, you know, throw themselves in his lap. And because he was a DJ and he was a changed man. But he had to be so, and he looked down at his shoes, "Would Jesus do this?" And he'd say, "No." And he would run. And he's a faithful brother in Christ to this day. Amen. We need to ask ourselves, are we able to trust that Jesus knows what's best for us? That you'll get it back, just like the horse. You'll get it back at the appropriate time. We looked at that scripture a few weeks. The Lord needs it and he'll give it back to you later, right?
We need to be willing to give stuff up for Jesus, trusting He's going to give it back to us later. You know? As we think about that, even the praising that came on the triumphal entry, do you think Jesus needed His ego stroked? No. Who was that for? It was purposeful. It was for the people to take time to praise Him. It was for the people to take time to glorify God. Who did Jesus want to bring glory to? His Father. You see, even as we think about the triumphal entry, and as we think about Jesus in our lives, we need to take time to praise God. We need to take time to offer up thanks for everything we have. Sometimes, don't we just become very complacent about that? Oh, I'm saved. No, you're saved. My sins are forgiven. No, your sins are forgiven. I'm a Christian. No, you're a... Praise God. Think of all the things that had to happen for each and every one of you to come into Christ. Never take that for granted. He allowed a special time for those people to shout praises to God, because He wants people to give praise to His Father. We need to take that time. That's why this is even in the Bible, to remind us of how awesome they thought Jesus was. Imagine if Jesus came in here right now. Wouldn't He get a big standing O? High fives all around? Wouldn't He be just mobbed by us? But He's here. Through His Word, through His Spirit, through the body of Christ that we have together, He's here with us. He's even looking down right now and seeing the people's hearts that are being moved, and He's inspired. We need to see that He was encouraged, but He was doing it so much to encourage the Christians, the followers at that time. They shouted praises. You know, Jesus didn't need that. The real irony is that shortly after this, what was going to happen to Him? He was going to be betrayed, right? He was going to be beaten. He was going to be tortured. He was going to be killed. Yet He still let them give praises to God. That's the grace and glory. Because some of us, we struggle. Some of us, we fall. There's one brother who's working on his walk with God. He admitted, I had embraced sin. I was just darkness. But brothers kept loving him, and he opened up, and he got help. And then he's sitting there sharing how much God had changed his life. He came back from the darkness, amen? You see, we need to aim for perfection, but if we've fallen short, we need to understand that grace covers us. Jesus could have looked around at these people shouting praises and said, "Psh, away with you. You're about to put me to death next week." See, the grace of God covers us in all of our imperfections. He loved us. He loves us even now. Do we need to aim for perfection? Yeah. Are we going to be perfect? No. But we can't tolerate deliberate sin in our lives. Amen? He wanted to make us honorable through His life, through His death. The next thing, the rocks themselves would cry out. Think about that. He's saying if the disciples didn't sing out praises, the rocks themselves would cry out. The joy of Jesus' coming was in nature itself. Imagine the excitement and all the spiritual beings in heaven and what they were feeling. The angels, the archangels, what they were feeling at this. We need to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Amen? In fact, Jesus even said this in Luke chapter 10 in verse 17. If you turn there, we're going to look at it in a moment. We need to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. It doesn't depend on the good things that are happening to you. Sometimes we are in a bad place with even life. We haven't done anything wrong, but life is just hard. Can we relate to that? Sometimes life is just hard. It's not our sin, it's just life. And that's just difficult. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen? See, they were excited about all the good news. Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I know it's a little bit alliteration there. Your joy cannot be situationally swishy. It needs to be salvationally solid. In other words, when things are good, I'm great. Situationally swishy. It's hard to say even, right? Situationally swishy. It's even hard to say. Just like it is, if you're living based upon how things were going, things are going to be up and down. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what counts. We're saved. At the end of the day, all our sufferings, tears, sorrow, pain, anguish, where is it going to be? Taken away. All our frailties, foibles, weaknesses, sins, where is it going to be? Taken away. What are we going to be? Made perfect. Amen? We're going to be transformed in the winkling of an eye. When right now Jesus looks down at us, God looks down at us, what does he see? We are clothed in Christ. Those of us that are in Christ are what? Clothed in Christ. You're undercover, out in the open, because you're clothed in Christ. He doesn't see you anymore. He sees his son. Amen? But you see, we need to have that heart to really embrace that. What the grace of God means. The gratitude needs to just flow from us. If the rocks couldn't contain it, why should we try to contain it, right? We need to be overflowing in what it is that we have in Christ. You know, when you look back in Luke, how did Jesus feel about the people that weren't going to accept him? What did he do? Didn't he weep? He cried over the city. Now, as he talks there, it says he wept over it. It says in verse back in Luke chapter 19, if you, even you, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? I think of this. I watch some of these sci-fi shows where there's multiple timelines and, you know, you're going back and trying to save the future from the past. And I think Jesus could see all the timelines because, you know, God is always at work in our lives, right? He's constantly creating situations and opportunities. Acts 17 says it, where we can reach him and seek him and find him, although he's never far from us, right? So I think Jesus could see the timelines where Jerusalem fully accepted him and what that would have been. But he saw the timeline where they were going to go. And he's like, this is just so sad because I could see a different future for you. Jesus sees a future for each and every one of us where we end up where? In heaven. Amen? How would he feel if we're not going there? He would weep. What can happen for sometimes we do things that are bad and we will face bad consequences. But Jesus wept because he cared that much. I think he could see all of our timelines in our lives and all of our choices. And he's constantly trying to create opportunities for us. We have the right to choose what we're going to do, but he's constantly creating those situations. Are you willing to let him make those choices for you? Are you willing to let him move you to him? You know, imagine all the great things Jesus sees for us in accepting and following him. But if you look at the end of that paragraph, it says they will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on the other because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Does Jesus have a take it or leave it attitude? Oh, you could take me, you could leave me. Is that what he's expressing there? You could take me or you could be destroyed. Take it or be. It's not like a lot of people think, oh, Jesus, he's a good guy. I think he did some great things. I think we should give him some attention. But following, that's just too much. Being his disciple, throwing my life in there. Jesus doesn't say that. He says they wouldn't even recognize him and what was going to happen to Jerusalem. Not one stone would be left on the other. The children would be dashed. Think about children. We need to understand we have an impact on our kids. Our faithfulness affects the future of the generations coming after us. And we do not get to act independently of that. We are part of a family, a part of a body, and a part of our own family. We need to be men and women of righteousness. Amen? We can't have a take it or leave it attitude. Jesus said even the rocks would cry out. He's like, this is important. What we have in Christ is important. Amen? So, last thing. Jesus kept on about his Father's work and didn't rest on his laurels. Now you might think, well, what are laurels? It's not an anatomical part of your body, laurels. Laurels is a wreath that the Greeks would give out when you would win a race. So when you won a race, you'd get laurels, and you could rest on your laurels. In other words, rest on your success. But you know what? He didn't even get caught up in his sadness. He had a triumphal entry, didn't he? He cried over Jerusalem because he was sad for what they were going to do. Look in Luke chapter 19 in verse 45. This is right after the triumphal entry, right after crying over Jerusalem. And he didn't rest on his laurels. He didn't get caught up in his sadness. Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words. You think, you deserve a break today at the triumphal entry? It's not McDonald's, right? Why am I saying that? He had a triumphal entry. He had thousands of people singing praises to him. Do you think there might have been a day where he took a day off? Did he take a day off? He entered the temple area and went to work. You see, if Jesus had that attitude, that with success, I'm not going to just stop. We need to have an understanding of what it is we can do. Sometimes we're like, man, I'm glad I'm saved. This is a great church service. But the bottom line is, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to turnkey this into other people, aren't we? Now, there are people that are probably visiting with us. You were invited out. If you're invited out and visiting with us, we're glad you're here with us. Amen? It's awesome to be together. You know, and if you're looking around for Jim, he's been asked to preach in Long Island today. He's not injured again or something. He's actually preaching in very Long Island. But he's trying to inspire the saints there too. Amen? But you see, for us here, we need to understand that we have a chance to take what we get and use it. And if Jesus was willing in that last week before going to the cross to get in the temples every day and teach, what could God do with this week in our lives? Who could be with us next Sunday that could be inspired by our time together? Because I think this is an inspiring time. Do you guys think so? I think it's great. It's so encouraging, so inspiring. Sean Bowen, who was one of the deacons before we merged, was visiting. He moved to Texas. Texas is the new Florida. I wish them well, but don't go there. But he came in and I said, Sean, what did you think of church? He goes, bro, this is awesome. The spirit, the joy, the unity, what we've been building over this last year and months has been encouraging. He's like, it's night and day. It's such a powerful event. Amen? Shouldn't we give God the glory for that? Amen? But let's see, what could we do in this last week? What could we do in this week that could make a difference in someone's lives? Because, you know, sometimes we meet open people and we're encouraged, right? Sometimes we meet people who say they're going to come and they don't come and we're discouraged. Sometimes you meet people who, like, give you every reason in the book why they don't have to come with you, and that's discouraging. Wasn't Jesus sad when he looked at Jerusalem? But did he let his sadness shut him down for a week? No. I want to encourage us. Some of us have been sharing our faith and meeting people that are open to God, and that's awesome. I've been meeting people that say they're open, but I haven't been able to get them to come. So I started feeling like, man, this is hard. These people, some of them don't even call me back. Can anyone relate to that? You know, don't let that discourage you. Continue to share your faith. It's just because you're giving glory to God. You're sowing seeds. You don't know how God's working. Jesus didn't let his sadness hold him back from teaching in his Father's house. You know, the scripture says, zeal for his Father's house consumed him. And you know, it said that day after day, he was in the temple courts. Well, when you line up the Gospels, what he was teaching, if you want to read what he was teaching in the temple courts those days, it's Matthew chapters 22 to 25. We're not going to read it. I just want you to write it down. But when it says he was in the temple courts teaching, when you look at Matthew chapters 22 to 25, that's what he was teaching. It's really pretty cool. Again, you can actually look at what he was teaching in those days. He knew he was going to die shortly. He was still reminding, still urging. Every day he was teaching. In fact, Jesus even looked forward to this day. Look in John chapter 20. If you turn to John chapter 20, Jesus looked forward to this day. In verse 26, we're going to read this because he looked forward to us. Do you know that Jesus looked forward to this gathering of people today? If you're here today, he looked forward to you being with him, to you being with us. It's kind of wild. It's kind of spooky, but it's true. In John chapter 20, verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put your hand there and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Amen? What does he say about us? We're blessed because we didn't get to see Jesus in the flesh, but we believed. Amen? And if you're here with us today, if you're visiting, if you're part of our fellowship, the bottom line is, this is something where Jesus was excited about us even being here today. And he's wanting us to give over the reins of our life to him, to allow him to work. He's wanting us to understand the impact we can have. Just like he wanted us to follow him, he wants us to get others to follow him. Amen? And we can't have a take it or leave it attitude. It's a take it or face destruction attitude. So we need to embrace the truth of what it is that he's saying. If it was a take it or leave it, do you think he would have had to die? No, this was so bad. What we were going to face would be so bad that he was willing to die. And that's next week's sermon. Amen? So what's the point here? As brothers and sisters, we need the glory in what Jesus has done for us. Amen? If you're visiting with us and you don't even understand, what's he talking about? Get into the Word of God. I grew up believing in God, not knowing the Scriptures. But the more I got into the Scriptures, the more I understood. And I got away from all the traditions of men. And I got engrossed in what the Bible had to communicate. And it's been a lifelong journey of understanding more of what God's all about. Amen? And turn your life over. Even if it's a mess right now. Even if you're a Christian and you're in a mess. Turn your life over. God will change you like that. Amen? And let's have a great time here. We're going to have some contribution and some church news and some good videos and things like that about what's going on around our kingdom. Love you guys. Have a great rest of your day. And let's have a great week here before Easter, taking a chance to share the good news.